Wow. I want to talk to you this morning for the next few minutes on this topic. What happens if you miss the rapture? Now, I did kind of come up with this message or replay this message. This message is about 4 years old. I've already preached this before, believe it or not. And you're saying, oh, Lord. Well, you can't remember what it was the last time, so I'm going to preach it to you again. I'll tweak it a little bit, but. But with the current events that's going on around the world, especially in Israel, and unless you, and if you don't know, you know, the U.S. bombed some three sites yesterday in Iran, got rid of some nukes. We're back. Amen. That's what I told our staff. We're back. Amen. And so I'm not that we go and bomb people. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about we're back as strength. We're back as a country that says, we're here, we're not moving, we're not going anywhere, and we want to rule, like have peace through strength. And unfortunately, that's all some nations understand. You never want to use it, just know you got it, we got it if necessary. And so so with that in mind, I'm not saying that what's happening is the rapture's next. I'm not saying that at all because nobody knows when that's happening. What I am saying, though, that if you look last night, I was watching some news, and I looked on the news, and I looked at some maps, and I looked how easy that it's going to for the world to position military forces in that area. It's really simple. I mean, you know, they had ships everywhere and manpower, and they could just take out everything over there. You know, there's going to be this battle called the Battle of Armageddon. It's going to happen there, okay? And so, I'm thinking, man, how are they going to position all this stuff? No problem. I've looked at this map and I thought, well, that's going to be pretty easy. They were talking about some of these analysis. We're talking about how they got these troops here and they sewed these maps, got ships here, ships here, ships here, and said, oh, and they could just drop some ground troops right here. And oh, by the way, there's aerial fighting going on. Israel controls the air and all this stuff. Man, it's just so simple. And I thought, I wonder how far we are from the return of Christ. I don't know. I'm not trying to spook you into anything and saying, oh, it's going to come tomorrow. Could come right now. Could come before we leave. It could be 100 more years. I don't know. So don't think that I'm trying to play off of what's going on. It came to mind because of what's going on. But again, I preached this message 4 years ago. Okay? And so just with a retweak, I want you to hear what I want to say today because you need to know this. So there's a couple things that's going to happen if you miss the rapture. well, there's a bunch of things going to happen. I'm going to talk about three or four of those. But one thing we want to talk about to begin with is, well, when will the mark of the beast happen? When is that going to come into play? What effect does that have on us today? We know from Scripture that you'll have to have a mark in your forehead or hand, whether that be a chip, I don't know, whether that's some other device, I can't tell you. I think we used to think that it was going to be a tattoo. And then we used to think, well, it's going to be a chip. I don't even know if it's going to be that. They can stop your buying and spending by clicking a button at a bank somewhere across the world, and you can't use your credit card. Amen? So they can control your spending right now, and you don't have a mark. It could be encoded in your card. I don't know how this is going to work, but there's going to be some symbol, obviously, in the forehead or the hand, and I don't know what that's going to look like, and I don't have that answer, and I don't know that anybody does, but I just want to throw that out there. But This mark of the beast will happen after the first 3.5 years of the tribulation is what we believe will happen. So there's going to be 3.5 years of good. It's just going to be, man, you're going to be pinching along here, and all of a sudden things are going to change. And I think that's when this mark will come into play. We can debate and argue all this all day long. I won't do it with you because nobody really knows all of this. But I'll give you some. David Jeremiah is one of the best that there is. I get a lot of my information on end time prophecy from him. He's in California. He's a great pastor, and I got the privilege of meeting him, and I listened to his stuff, and he's very good. And so a lot of my stuff is derived from his teachings as well. So in Revelation 13, 4, says this, so they worship the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worship the beast saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and he was given authority to continue for 42 months. That's 3.5 years. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. And it was granted to him to make war with the saints and overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. Verse 8, and all who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear to hear, let him hear. So there's going to be this mark. There's going to be the Antichrist, if you will. There's going to be this beast system. And he's going to be raining down holy terror. Now, remember, we're out of here. Church is out of here. How do you get out of here? You got to be blood-bought, born again, period. Your name's got to be written in a book of the book of life, the Lamb's book of life. Your name's got to be written there. If it's not written there, then you're here. You're not there, you're here, okay? So it's pretty clear that you've got to get saved, born again, put your trust, your faith in Christ Jesus, and obey him. It's not enough sometimes just to come. It's not enough. Not sometimes. It's never enough just to come make a little prayer so you can get out of something. There's got to be a transformation of your heart. We've watered down the gospel. We've watered down this salvation thing. Oh, come say a little prayer and you're good, you're in. Well, that's not necessarily true. Bible says you'll be known by your fruit. If you come and say a prayer, nothing changes in your life, and you're still doing the same things you're doing when you're a sinner, you really didn't get saved. You're still in darkness. The Bible says there's light and there's dark. Light always represents Christ. Darkness always represents sin. And if you're still doing sinful things in the dark, guess what? You're not of the light. Amen. And so you've got to get saved. You've got to get right with the Lord. Because there is a tribulation period coming after Christ takes the church out. There's going to be a time that you're going to wish you was dead. We won't go over it this morning, but the Bible says that people are going to wish they was dead. They're going to call for the rocks to fall on, but they won't die. There'll be so much pain and suffering, you're going to want to die, but you can't die. Holy smoke. That's tough, ain't it? So let me read this to you. So it's timeline of some events. The rapture of the church. I'll give you biblical references. I won't go over them individually. I'm just going to give you where it's from. The rapture of the church is, we find that in 1 Thessalonians 4, 17 through 18. The tribulation will start after the rapture of the church. There's going to be two witnesses during this time that will go all over the world for the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. We find that in Revelation 11, 3. Then those two witnesses will be killed. They'll be raised from the dead. After they'll be laying in the streets for after 3.5 days, they'll be raised and they'll ascend to heaven. We find that in Revelation 11, 11. Then this false prophet, he's going to come with such eloquent speaking and, oh, it's just going to be great. He's going to bring everybody together. We're going to get all on this one world stage and everybody's going to hold hands and sing Kumbaya. Sounds crazy, doesn't it? You know that's what's going to happen? Because the Bible says it's going to happen. Every tribe and every nation is going to come together. Even the Iranians, the Iraqis, all those that are left behind, the Jews, the Americans, we're all just going to be one big old party. We're just going to be so in love with each other and everything's going to be great for 3.5 years. And then the sheep will take off and you'll see the real wolf underneath. So now you got to have a discerning spirit. A discerning spirit. You know, discernment is not knowing right from wrong. My 3-year-old grandson knows right from wrong. Discernment is knowing almost right from right. There is a big difference. Knowing almost right and right. Well, how do you know what is almost right and what's right? by studying God's word. God's word is right. It's not almost right. It's not sometimes right. It is right. It is correct. It is truth. Whether you think it's truth or not, it's still truth. It is right. So we must study God's word to know truth, to know right from wrong. So when does this great tribulation happen? There's a 3.5 year mark after the death, resurrection, and ascension of the two witnesses. And after the Antichrist, this person steps on the scene in Revelations 11, 1 through 14. There's going to be this suave, debonair person unlike myself. He's going to tell you what you want to hear. Things are going to happen on a world stage. They're going to happen. But know if you're here and you're getting to experience that, you missed the rapture. It's not good that you, oh, I know my preacher talked about this. Look, you're already in the wrong spot. Come on, somebody. The idea is to go on the first busload. Amen? You don't want the second one. You want to go in the first. Can you go in? Can you get saved during this? Yeah, you can. But chances are, and there's going to be some, because there's going to be a bunch of people get saved, but the chances are, if you're not saved now, coming to church now, you're probably not going to get saved then, just as a general rule. Well, preacher, how do you know? They said there's going to be see a multitude of people there. That's exactly what Revelation says. But here's also what the Bible says now, that there's a lot of people. Wide is the path that goes to destruction, and narrow is that that leads to heaven. Few are going to be on this narrow path, and many going to be on the other one. So the Bible's not contradictory. It tells us very clearly what's going to happen. Some going and some ain't. Can I get real clear to you? Maybe some in this church going, some ain't. Well, thank you, Lord. Matthew 25:15. I'm just laying a little foundation. I'm going to get to my things here in a minute. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. And let not him who is in the field go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing babies in those days. And I pray that your flight may not be in the winter or on the Sabbath, for then there will be great tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time, nor ever shall be. There's going to be a time on this present earth that we experience, that we live on, that you're not going to want to be here. And God says that if you're pregnant, woe to you. If it's in the winter, woe to you. There's going to be this horrible time. And if you miss the rapture, you're going to go through this. You're not going to be able to pray to the Father and he gives you blessings. No, his spirit is here now. The Antichrist, the spirit, you think the devil's loose now. Just wait till the rapture of the church is pulled out. And I'm telling you that the devil is going to be wide open. You think he bothers you every day now? He don't. But boy, you'll think he is then. You know, the devil is not omnipresent. You understand that, correct? The devil can't be everywhere at the same time. He does have a hierarchy of military forces, if you will. We find that in Ephesians. If you go there in Ephesians 6, you can read that. But he's not everywhere. I've done the math one time, and I think for the devil to come and spend 1 second with you, with the amount of people that's on the earth, about 7 billion, it takes about 389 years to get around to you. If he spent 1 second with you. Probably not the devil. A lot of it has nothing to do with the devil anyway. A lot of it is just that you just make dumb choices. You just do stupid things. I mean, I was class president of stupid stuff for a long time in my life. Amen? I just done stupid stuff. It wasn't the devil. It's just stupid. It's just dumb decisions. So don't give so much credit to the devil. Take some responsibility. It was just you. Amen? So can you get forgiveness if you take the mark of the beast? No. If you take the mark of the beast so that your crying child or your starving baby can eat, you cannot be saved. Let me show you to it in the Bible. Revelations 14:9. Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or in his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into his cup of indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment, whose torment? Those who have taken the mark of the beast, ascends forever and ever. How long is that? Forever. That's eternity, if you were wondering. And they have no rest day or night. You don't get to take a break from it. Who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. That's the mark of the beast. So if someone says, well, I'm going to change my mind. I changed my mind. God, you know, I was just trying to feed my hungry child. You know, it was what I needed to do. No, now's the time to get right with God, and you don't have to go through that. Okay? Now's the time to get right, get blood bought, born again, make sure your household's saved so you don't have to go through this, and that's not a scenario you have to be put in. That's the goal. I don't worry about my kids being hungry in the rapture, after the rapture and the tribulation. One, I'm out of here. My goal is to make sure they're out of here. Some of you know my prayer. I've had this prayer for my grandchildren since before they were born. Let them love you more than anything or anyone in the world. If we get that right, the rest of it's gravy. The rest of it's easy. Get that right. So if you are left here, what will happen to you if you miss the rapture? If you take the mark of the beast, you cannot be saved. You are doomed to eternal, as the Bible says, forever and ever, this smoke, this torment, it sins forever and ever, and you don't have rest day or night. Those who worship the beast will receive the mark. So if you miss the rapture, it is not my fault if you're in this room today. Unless you're asleep and not paying attention. Still your fault. It's not mine. Amen. So four things that will happen to people who take the mark of the beast. You'll find a lot of different analogies and metaphors in Revelation. You'll hear about bowls and vials, and you'll hear just different things in there. So we're going to talk about a couple of bowls, B-O-W-L. It's a metaphor where the angels come and they can pour out different things on the earth. And so you just got to go read it. I don't have enough time today, but in Revelation 16, if you miss the rapture and you go through the tribulation, here's some of the things that will happen. You'll have some of the worst sores, boils, if you will, that's ever been known to mankind. I mean, I won't even be able to go to my nurse practitioner. I won't be able to go across the yard, and you won't be able to give me something for it. Come on, somebody. It's going to be horrible. Let me tell you what the Bible says in Revelation 16:2. So the first went and poured out his bowl upon the earth, and a foul and loathsome sore came upon men who had had the mark of the beast and those who worship his image. When these plagues or bowls are poured out, you must understand that it doesn't start and then stop. So when a bowl is poured out, it is combined with the next wrath. So just because you have a sore now, well, it don't go away because what's the next one? Well, what's the next? It's not like the 10 plagues that we read about in the Old Testament. One would start, one would stop. One would start, one would stop. No, these are compiled on top of each other. Why is that? That is called God's wrath. So let me explain to you. So God has an equal amount of wrath as he has an equal amount of love. So right now, see, you mess up, you make a mistake, and God keeps pouring out his love on you continually. So it doesn't start and stop, it's continual. So you mess up, guess what? There's more love poured on you. You mess up, there's more love poured on you, okay? In this scenario, God's wrath is the same way. When you miss the rapture and you take the mark of the beast, whatever wrath poured out, then there's more wrath. And then there's more wrath. And then there's more wrath. You get my picture? You don't get reprieve. There's no downtime. I want to go on vacation from all this, God. Sorry, we don't do vacations here. Interesting, isn't it? So, I mean, sores. You ever had a boil? I had one time right there when I was in school. You want people to stay away from you? You just go by and put out your elbow in their way, man. It's like you got leprosy. You know, you go down the hallway of school and you're trying to pop that dude. Look, you got the whole hallway to yourself. Do you hear me? It's yours. You're going to have these all over your body. Painful. Well, if that's not enough, watch this. Another thing that's going to happen, extreme heat. Well, I like heat, but I don't like heat when I got a sore. Anybody ever had Blade, you ever had poison ivy real bad? Now, Blade's the worst fella in the world. When he gets poison ivy, he gets it in his hair. You hear me? I'm not talking about on his scalp. His hair has poison ivy. That fella gets it bad. You ever had poison ivy? How many have poison ivy, poison oak, something like that? And you know, you get to rubbing that, and then if it gets hot, it's like worse, right? Well, just think about this. So you got this boils, sores all over you. You don't get to pick where they come up. They're all over you. And then you got this extreme heat. Revelation 16:8, this is the fourth bowl, by the way. The first thing we talked about was the first bowl. The second bowl is extreme heat. Then the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun. And power was given to him to search, to scorch men with fire. Now, I think that's a little heat. I thought it was hot yesterday. I thought it was hot the day before. But that's nothing. Look, that's not even preheat to hell. It says, and men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God who has power over these plagues, and they did not repent and give him glory. They got mad at God for God telling them what he was going to do and following through. This is what he's telling us. You've got the Bible. He's telling us what's going to happen. There will be people that will hear this word, miss a rapture, be caught up in this and get mad at God and not repent to God, and he's the one who could stop it. But he won't. He's given that an opportunity now. That's why he's a just God. He gives you more chances to come to him than he does for you to reject him. Well, thank you, Lord. Men will not repent or give God glory. They're not going to. Isn't that something? They're going to know that he has the power. They're going to be experiencing extreme heat. They're going to have sores on their bodies, and they're going to reject God and say, they're going to blame him. Blaspheme is what the Bible says. Are you learning something? I hope it's helping you. The third thing, we find this, the fifth bowl that was poured out by the angel. Now remember, we got bowls and it's hot, scorching hot, but you ain't dying. Then there's going to be extreme darkness and pain so bad people will gnaw their tongue. You ever bit your tongue? Doesn't it feel so good? Like next week when it quits hurting? You can bite your tongue, and I mean tears come up, and it's like some of the sharpest pain. I'm thinking, man, if I'd known this, I'd had all my teeth pulled. I mean, you bite that tongue, and it's like, oh, man, golly. and you stop eating, you stop wanting, you're chewing gum, you start slowing down. Gnawing your tongue. When gnawing your tongue is helps you ease the pain of something else, that something else is bad. I mean, that's some serious pain. If I've got to gnaw my tongue because that's like, you know, mama used to rub my belly when I had a bellyache. Made you feel better. If gnawing your tongue makes you feel better, it's bad. Because you already got extreme heat, you already got boils. Now we're in this. Watch this. Revelation 16:10. Then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues because of the pain. They blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores. You hear it? That's why it's continuing. One doesn't stop. Because of their pain and their sores, and did not repent of their deeds. This Revelation story reminds me of exactly what Pharaoh did. The Bible says then he hardened his heart. He rejected God. He said, I'll do this, and then he didn't. That's what people are going to do during this time period. Oh, I love you, I love you. No, you don't. I'm going to do better. No, you won't. You can't. You're in a place where you're going to you will actually blaspheme God. You will actually shake your fist at him and say, I'll get you. How's that working out for you? Not good. The Bible tells us he's the God over this. He put it on you. You didn't ask for it. He put it on you because of your rejection of him. You don't have the right to reject it. You can't reject it. Got to get right now. Be born again now. Obey his commandments now. Live like you're a Christian now. Show some fruit of being a Christian now. Because then it's too late. Well, you know, I'm a good hunter. I'm going to go out in the woods and kill my stuff. You think so? Boy, yeah, if God can do all this, look, he'll poison the meat somehow. I don't know. He's God. It's not the way it works. He's got this plan. You're either born again and you go to heaven, or you're not born again, you go to hell. And in the process, that tribulation period of you going to hell, there is torment on earth. It's going to happen forever and ever and ever. I ain't making this up. It's in the Bible. Lee, will you come to the piano? I'm about to finish. You can only handle so much of this stuff. Fourth thing, this is the seventh bowl. Earth will be utterly shaken and hailstones will fall. Remember, you're already, you got sores on you. You got extreme heat. It's very dark. You're already mad at God because he's done this to you. Understand, God has not done this to you. Has not done that to them at that time, or you if you're here. God has not done that. Now, you're going to think that he has. God has provided, is providing a way for you now, so you don't have to go through there. What is that called? The principle of sowing and reaping. Whatsoever man soweth, so shall he reap. Galatians 6, 7 through 9. That's what you're going to reap. If you reap, if you sow rejection to God, guess what you're going to reap? Rejection of God. It's not hard. This thing is like too simple. It's just too simple. It says Revelation 16, 17, then the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, it is done. and there were noises and thunderings and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake. I don't know if you've ever been in an earthquake. I've been in a little tremor, not really considered an earthquake. I've seen some damages of earthquakes, but this is what it says. That there was a great earthquake, such a mighty and great earthquake has not occurred since men were on the earth. There's never been an earthquake like this. You've never seen devastation like this before. Let me show you how bad it's going to be. According to Scripture, now the great city was divided into three parts, and the city of the nations fell. And great Babylon was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. So God's pouring it out, okay? Verse 21, then every island fled away and the mountains were not found. That's an earthquake. It's going to be a shift in the platelets in the earth, and things are going to flatten. Wouldn't want to be living on an island in your little dream house, because you ain't going to have a place to live unless you're in a boat. And then I think with that kind of stuff, guess what? There's going to be so much violent waves that your boat will sink. Here's something else going to happen during that time. Now remember, all this has happened at the same time. These are just four things. We go through the Bible and show you a lot more. These are just four things. Verse 21. And great hail, H-A-I-L, from heaven fell upon men. Each hailstone weighed about the weight of a talent. Now there's different talents, and I've done a word study on this particular time. There are different talents of silver and gold and different ones, so they all weigh differently according to what it was. But this word talent turns out to be about 75 pounds. So watch this. So a hailstone weighing 75 pounds starts falling, hailstones. And men blaspheme God because of the plague of the hail. That's the same word we use in Old Testament, plague. Remember the 10 plagues? People begin to revert in their thought. They think that God's plaguing them when they forget that he's given them opportunity to come to him now. Church, I'm here to tell you, if you've been in church and you go through the rapture, you go through the tribulation, you're going to be one of these people that thinks God is tormenting you and putting a plague on you, and you're going to forget that there was opportunity after opportunity to come to know him today. You're going to shake your fist at him. That's what's going to happen. These great hailstones are going to fall, the weight of about 75 pounds. Men blaspheme God because of these plagues of the hail, since that plague was exceedingly great. Now look, you got all these sores on you. It's hot. 75-pound hailstones falling at you. You're trying to get your little family because you thought church wasn't important. You thought teaching your children wasn't important. You thought teaching about God was just something somebody else should do, that the preacher, if he'd do a better job, or the Sunday school teacher would do a better job. Well, why didn't they do that? That's going to be your thought. You understand that? That'll be your thought because you're mad at God. God put this plague on me. And if you're mad at God, you're going to be mad at the people in the church. You're going to be mad at the Sunday school teacher. Blake, get ready. If they can email from where they are to heaven, guess what? They're going to be mad at you because you didn't do enough job. Haley, they'll be mad at you because you didn't do a good enough job in the children's ministry. Tina, you didn't do a good enough job in the nursery teaching kids. It's somebody else's fault. You know why it's somebody else's fault? Because it's always somebody else's fault, because we're in a society where it says, I'm the victim. Baloney, you're not the victim. You chose to do that. You chose these choices. God's given you the opportunity. Preacher begs you to bring your children to church, at least in this church. I don't know about the other churches. I don't pastor there. But here we do. We encourage and beg you, come to church. Get involved. Be a part of what's going on so you can grow. We need you and you need the church. You say, well, I don't need the church. Well, you will. You're going to. You're going to need God. If the rapture doesn't take place before then, guess what? Before you take your last breath, you're going to wish you'd have done more for God. That's the way this thing works. Are you sure, preacher? Yes, I'm absolutely sure, because our one desire is going to be with him. And when we realize we've come up way short on fulfilling our role as a Christian, we're going to say, oh man, there's going to be some regret at death. I'll guarantee it. There will be regret at death. I'm not saying you're not going to heaven. That's not what I'm talking about. You're going to have some remorse that you didn't do more for God in the kingdom. I'd hate to know that I'm laying on my deathbed and I can't get out and do more. And I can say, if I could only do more right now, I would. Liar. You're given an opportunity now, right at this moment, to do more. But you and me and our lives, we're so consumed with everything but the gospel. Everything but talking about Jesus. We want to do this and we want to do this. And oh, little Johnny's an all-star. No, they stink at playing ball. They're not going to pros. Is there anything wrong? No, my granddaughter, I love to go watch her play. Man, I'm telling you, when I'm thinking about taking off church, so I'm going to go see her. The preacher? Well, you do. Why can't I? Boy, you can see your faces. I need a mirror up here. Nothing wrong with ball. I love ball. Come on, somebody. I love all that stuff. It's not, listen to me, it is not the ball. It is not, listen, it is not the hunting. It is not the vacation. It is not that. Those are good, great things, and I love them, and I'll do them all. It is not those things. What it is what you continue to teach your kids week after week after week after week to say, it's not important that you go to church. It's not important that you get involved in church. It's just not that important. Hunting or fishing or ball or vacation, that's important. And you're setting that up in your kids because they're going to do what you do way more than do what you say. It's just the principle. You can say, preacher, I don't agree with you. I'm not here to ask you whether you agree with me. I'm preaching God's word. Because you say, well, how's that God's word? Whatsoever a man soweth, so shall he reap. That's God's word. If you sow that this is important, guess what you're going to reap? In your kids, they're going to reap that this is important. Reading your Bible is important. Having Bible study is important. Praying is important. Going to church is important. Get involved in church is important. It's the most important thing you'll do. I just don't get it. It's just not that important. Well, it's important to me. Well, really? If I was to take an attendance on these things in your life, would you come up short? It's important if you don't have anything else to do. That does not make it important. When you don't have anything else to do and we can just go, that is not important. Here's what I know about people. I've been around 57 years and I've been dealing with people about 40 of those. Started about 17 in ministry. So I know a little bit. I don't know as much as most of you, but I know a little bit. Every person in this room, as long as you have breath, this is fact. You can quote it. You can put it out there. You can research it. This is fact. Every person that's still breathing every day will fill every minute of every day with something. Think about it. You're going to fill it with something. Is it important? Is it eternal? You don't have to go around like some weirded out person, just a Jesus freaky, thinking you're weirdo. You can't be so heavenly minded and no earthly good. You got to be able to bring that down here and say, how can I affect people? I got a little phrase that I use in my own life. It's bigger than me. It's bigger than me. Whatever I do, it's still bigger than me. The Lord says, whatever you do, do it heartily, as if I'm right there with you. I don't care what you do in your occupation, your job. I don't care. What are you doing that says this should somehow reflect who I am in Christ, and what I do should somehow lead people, point people to Christ? That's the goal. What's important to you? Are your kids important to you?
Oh, they're the most precious thing ever.
Really? I was asked them to quote 5 Bible scriptures, could they?
Yeah, if the teachers have taught them that in Sunday school class.
It's no more the responsibility of our teachers to teach your kids to memorize verses than it is yours. We have them for an hour a week. You won't even, as an adult, you won't even remember what I preached next Sunday. You won't remember this message. And somehow you think it's a responsibility of teachers and pastors for you to get all the information about God and the Bible in an hour and a half setting, when the first 45 minutes you're wondering, I wonder what he's going to preach on, how long he's going to preach, and the last 45 minutes is, what time are we going to beat everybody to the restaurant? It seems harsh. I'm not being mad. I'm not mad at you. I just understand the severity that if you miss the rapture, you've missed it. It's going to be tough. And I'd rather be tough on you right now and you come to this idea that I need to change some things and make it to heaven than I had you get there and blame your preacher, because you're going to blame God. You're going to blame me. Come on. This ain't hard. I got that figured out. If you're mad at God, you're going to be mad at the preacher. He'd done a better job. If he'd have preached longer. Well, if I'd preached longer, you'd have got up and left. Come on, somebody. Boy, I tell you what, you can preach truth and things just, they just get quiet. I love you. I'll be accused of a lot of things when I get to heaven. I'll have this list of things, boy, I didn't match up to. But one of those things won't be, he didn't tell us the truth. He didn't tell us the truth. That ain't gonna be on. I won't. That ain't gonna be my deal. Because I am held, by the way, I am held to a higher standard on those things, according to 1 Timothy, than you are. How I preach the gospel to you. Not my presentation, but what I preach. I'm gonna be held accountable. If I don't preach the whole truth and tell you the truth, guess what? I'm gonna be held accountable for that. Now there's about everything else, boy, I'm going to need Jesus to jump in and say, up, 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 I've already got that covered. Up, I got that one covered. I got that one covered. When they come to this one, he can say, oh, no, he got that one. He's got that one. He preached the best of his ability, the gospel. That's what he preached. I want you to go to heaven on the first trip. On the first bus, I want you to go to heaven. If you die today, I want you to go to heaven. If you live through the rapture, you're up to the rapture, I want you to go to heaven. I want you to go to heaven. The rapture's a church, get the church out of here. Because God's wrath, you need to get this in your spirit, I said a while ago. God's wrath is as equal as God's love. He's going to pour it out. What makes him just is that you have an opportunity to come to know him before the wrath of God is poured out. You go read Revelations. Just start in the front and read it. Take your time. You'll see that there's a time to repent. There's a time to get right with God, and it's now. Don't chance it. Young people, don't chance it. You're not that cool. Come on, you're just not that cool. It's not worth getting the little jokes over the little things or getting that you might say. It's not cool, young people, because you've had sex 42 times before you're in. It's not cool. This is not cool. It's not good. Yeah, but everybody likes me. No, they don't. They don't like you. You just make them laugh. They're just looking for something to make them happy. They hadn't found real joy in Christ. Get right with God. Show them true joy.
Lead them to the Lord. Start revival on your campus. That's what you need to do. You don't have joy, then they'll flock to you. Hey, woo, glory to God. That's what you want to do. Don't be the first one to introduce dope to your school. Don't be the first one to show up with weed in your pocket. Don't be the first one to say, man, you're just drinking. Say, that's cool, man. You don't know where you're at. Oh, that's real cool. Come on, young people. Come on, mamas and daddies. Pour the booze out. Get it out from under your cabinet. Get it out of your top of your cupboard there. Pour it out. Your kids don't need that foolishness. Look what it's doing to you. You're unhappy. You got problems. Want to add to that? Preacher, you know what you're talking about? Never had a drinking problem in my life. Had family members had it. Didn't need it. I saw what it did. I don't need it. I don't need it. It's time for the church to get right. I'm afraid the church, a lot of the church is going to miss the rapture. Preacher, you sure? Well, the Bible says that there's going to be a lot of people say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do it? A, B, C, D, in your name? Depart from me, I never knew you. The only way you can explain is people were involved in church, but they wasn't his. Because he said, I never knew you. But you played the part. You could show up through events. You could come to church. You could write your check. You can help clean. You can help put on events and mega sports camps. And you can teach. Depart from me. I never knew you. It's not a, well, I was saved and I'm not saved. No, I never knew you. That's what he says. You just wasn't saved. I'm afraid there's a lot of people in the church in America today that just ain't saved. Narrow is the path that leads to life and eternal life. And few be that go that way. But wide is the path that leads to destruction. And many will go that path. That's what the Bible says. I think it's time we get right and don't miss the rapture. Will you stand with me across this building? I didn't intend to preach this long, but thank you for listening. This would be a good time if you don't know Jesus to come to the altar. I ain't even sure, preacher. I ain't even sure if I don't know. This would be a good time to make sure you're sure. This would be a great opportunity for you to come. Nobody's beat you up. Nobody's going to come drag you out of your seat. You're going to get down here and nobody's going to say, I told you so. I knew it was you. Look, I just had to repent myself. Lord, don't let me miss it. Lord, let me be one of those that follows you. Yes, Lord, as Isaiah said, here I am, send me. Send me, Lord. Obey. Obey. Obey God's word. Let's just do it this way. Just right out in the open front of God and everybody. If you don't know Jesus, if you ain't sure, if you're not 100% sure, I want you to make your way to the altars. We're going to pray with you. We're going to pray a sinner's prayer with you. If you don't know, if you're thinking just the slightest doubt that you might go through the tribulation, you need to come to the altar. Is that you? Thank you, God. Is that you? I need some men right here. I need some ladies right there. Come on. Come on. Come on, men. I need you right here. Are there others? Are there others? You don't know where you're going to spend eternity. If you need prayer, I want you to come get right up next to here so we know who you are and where you're at, so we know who's going to be praying. Men, I want you to pray for him.
He's convicted in his heart. Ladies, I want you to pray. Conviction in the heart. I want you to pray. What are we praying for? That they come to know Jesus if they don't know him. To be assured that if the rapture happens, they're going to go to heaven. Are there others today? I need you to come. If that's you, I want you to come. I want you to come. This is a no bells, no whistles kind of thing. If you don't know him, you need to come. If you're struggling with your salvation, or not struggling with salvation, but struggling where you are, you need to be here. You need to come. Well, I think I can do better here. I'm just going to stay in my seat, and I think I'll just do better here, and I'm going to do better when I get home. Let me know how that works out for you, because that's not the first time you've said it. I'm just telling you what the Holy Spirit's speaking to me. I need some men and some ladies right there. Just move over a couple men. I need a couple men right over here, right there. There we go. Stay right there. There we go. Come on, you got the power to pray for people like your pastor's got power to pray. You got the same words. You got the same Bible. Just pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for them. Father, in the name of Jesus, if there's others, I want you to come. You make your way. Come all the way to the very front so we know who you are. We're going to pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you for your word today. I thank you, Lord, that it's unchanging. I thank you, God, that there's power in the word of God. I thank you, Lord, that that word of God, it is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it divides the bone and the marrow, Lord. It pierces the heart. Lord, it divides it, Lord. It knows what we need. And I thank you for your word, because it is your word, Lord. It is your word, Lord, that sets us free. It is your word. It is your word that saves us, Lord. It is your word. We thank you for your word, God. Lord, you used the word in your trials and tribulations when the enemy came to you. You used the word. You said it is written. You used the word. So, Lord, we use the word today for the saving of soul, to the renewing of our faith. We use the word. We use the word. Father, those that are making a commitment today, Lord, let them not only make a commitment because of a message, but let them make a commitment because, God, they want to do better. Lord, when they leave here, Lord, that they have a desire to do better, that they have a desire to change their lifestyle. They have a desire to say, Lord, I'm going to obey you no matter the cost, no matter what it costs me, no matter what it costs me, no matter what I have to give up, I'm going to follow you. There'll be different fruit starting now. We're not looking for perfection. We're looking for different fruit. God never tells us to look for perfection. He says, you'll be known by your fruit. Is it godly fruit or is it ungodly fruit? It is fruit of light or is it fruit of darkness? The fruit you'll be known by. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for these today. Lord, a desire to serve you, a more of a desire to serve you than anything. A desire to get right, stay right, just do right. Give up those things that are not godly. Father, I thank you, Lord, right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Just get right. Stay right. Be right. Let him live inside you. Let him dwell within you. Let him cultivate your spirit. Let him plow up the old hard parts of your heart. Let him plant seeds of good in your heart today. That in the near future, you'll see a harvest of what God has sown in your heart. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord, convict us of our sins. Cleanse us of our sins. Let your long suffering, your mercies that are new every day, flood our hearts and our souls while there's time. Father, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord, give us more of a desire than just to come to the front of the altar, but Lord, give us a desire to serve you when we're away from the altar. Give us a desire to serve you when we're among the heathens. Give us a desire to serve you, Lord, when the wolves are napping at us, Lord. Give us a desire to serve you, God, when pride comes in. Give us a desire to serve you, God, no matter what. No matter what. Let all guilt and all shame and all condemnation be gone in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we rejoice today in the Lord? We'll just give him a hand clap of praise. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We love you. I love you. I don't want to see you miss the rapture. I get to heaven. I plan on getting there, by the way. What greater joy for a pastor to look and say, hey, these are my peoples. Every one of them. Break out the roll in heaven. I want to see if all of them made it. What a great, you want to honor me? You can quit having pastor appreciation. Just show up in heaven. That's what I'd like to do. Just show up in heaven. Just be there and say, preacher, I made it. You didn't think I was going to make it. No, I didn't. I didn't know if I was going to make it sometimes. I love you. I love you a lot. Amen and amen. Let me bless you before we go. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that your face has shone on us today. We thank you that we found favor with you. We just pray we would find favor with man this week somewhere. That job promotions, increases, prosperity, raises would come our way. And that peace would blanket every rooftop. That when we lay down this afternoon or tonight, that sweet sleep would come to our spiritual souls and our physical bodies. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone says amen and amen. Love you. See you on next Sunday.